Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Rainer's Radio, practical training for joint heirs with Christ, with your host, Diane Thomas.
Good evening, and welcome to Rainer's Radio. This is Diane Thomas, your host, and we're going to continue talking about the rewards of ministry. And a couple of questions that have kind of come up, we're kind of trying to address generally. Some people don't consider themselves to be real good in the giving department. And so this whole idea of ministry as a basically giving, that's basically a definition we're using, is kind of a stretch for some, and that's fine. And one of the things we want to look at is, we've talked about many times before, is the basics, the fundamentals of our soul. Is when we look at it, we're going to look at things from a certain perspective. If it doesn't fit in with what you've been taught or what works for you, that's fine. We're not trying to correct or contradict. As long as it's working for you, as long as it is bringing you into greater relationship with God, greater healing, greater dependence on Him for your life, for your strength, for that contentment. As long as your goals of knowing God are being met with your teachings, that's the bottom line. But we know that our soul is distinct from our spirit, and our perspective is that our soul is made up of our mind, our will, and our emotions. And our soul was given to us, was specifically selected. You have the soul God selected for you, not for anybody else. It's the one He wanted you to have. When you entered into this world, your soul was exactly pristine the way God wanted it to be. But as soon as you started interacting with your environment, your soul discovered it did not have the life it needed that would have come from the spirit if you were born with your spirit intact. Since Adam, we are not born, since Adam, no one's ever been born with an intact spirit except for Jesus. So our soul, which is supposed to get its life from spirit, Adam and Eve got their life. Their soul got its life from spirit. They were spirit, soul, and body. We are dead spirit, soul, and body, born that way. And when we are reborn, our spirit becomes living. Our soul doesn't change. It may be healed. It may be things may happen to our soul, but the highest level of your soul will be to get back to its unhindered state that we received when we were born, which God handpicked for you. So where the fight is not over your soul for eternal life. The fight in your soul is for this life. Your soul, ever since, often after we become Christians, is fighting to get its needs met on its own terms. It was meant to, God created our soul as expressed in Adam and Eve, to get life from their spirit. God created that cycle, that system, to work. Without the spirit, the soul doesn't have the proper, the God-intended means of getting life, of getting energy, of power, information, contentment, direction. And so our soul comes up with its own way of doing things. And sometimes those things work, and sometimes they don't. But the soul God gave you has certain aspects to it, and we refer to those as the mind, the will, and the emotions. And if you've been taught other ways, that's fine. But we're talking about, when we talk about that aspect, that face of the soul, we're talking about a temperament. Now, there's no perfect temperament. No temperament is better than another. No combination of spirit, of mind, will, and emotions is better than another. Now, this society doesn't believe that. But in as far as God is concerned, he gave you the combination of mind, will, and emotions that he wants you to have. So even through the process of your soul working very hard to get its needs met on its own terms, the basic core of your soul is always intact. Your soul does not break. Your soul does not die. It does not disappear or crack. It can be enveloped. It can be drowned out and covered and so encrusted in scar tissue and misbeliefs and lies that you can't recognize your soul. But your basic soul is going to remain intact throughout your time here on this earth. So our goal is to get rid of the outer layers that infringe and impede our soul that God gave us from being God gave us and receiving life from spirit, from God, through our own spirit. But the way God put your soul together is exactly what he wanted you to have. But guess what? Everybody's soul is different. God is immensely creative, and he has, each one of us has a unique character, temperament, soul. The way he put our mind, will, and emotions together is different for each one of us. So things that are naturally or soulically important to any one of us is not going to be based on God's value, but on what we are naturally good at and what we are soulically good at. We all go to our strengths at least first. Sometimes we revert to identifying ourselves according to our weaknesses, but we all start with what comes easy, what we enjoy, what works. So for many, what our temperament has done is provided us a self-identity based on our soul and our soulical attributes, sometimes even our natural attributes, that this is who we are, this is what we do, this is what we believe, rather than from a spiritual aspect, that your character is now God's character. You are loving, you are kind, you are, and then you also have all the power attributes. Now, they're mostly not working, and we can all agree on that, but that's where that's the true you, is you are a spirit being, not a soulical being. But you have a soul. And so when we start looking at, when we're talking about God's attributes shining through our soul, one of the ways we look at, when we are talking about his love being expressed as giving, it's not soulical giving. It can be through the soul, but we all know people who are naturally giving people. That it's part of their character. It's part of their temperament. That's not what we're talking about. They find it easy to share, easy to give, easy to empathize. That's not everybody. And that's fine. That's the way God made it. So for those who don't feel like they're good at giving, they don't see opportunity, they don't see that they're even expressing who or what God is, or contributing to their situation, they feel like they're not givers. That's your own identity evaluating yourself. That's your soul evaluating your soul. Your mind, will, and emotions evaluating from a soulical perspective, not a spiritual perspective. Because from the spirit, remember, your spirit is free on this earth. And whether you know it or not, giving right now. Your spirit cannot not give. Because it cannot not love. By definition, by its very makeup, your spirit loves. It can't do anything but. Now, because of our awareness levels and our being out of touch and out of tune, you may not see that. None of us do. Let's put it that way. None of us have hardly any awareness of the impact our spirit right now is having on our environment, on our world, on our universe, anything. We are have very little awareness of what is going on in the spirit realm, let alone the supernatural realm. We are very consumed in the natural realm. That's what we can see with our natural senses. See, taste, smell. Again, the supernatural realm, that's where the supernatural beings are. Odds are you have both the demonic critters and, you know, some demonic and some angelic beings in your space right now. And, of course, you always have the presence of God right there. Now, how present he is varies. But the whole point being that you are, that's the realm where your soul functions, between the spirit and the natural. Supernatural simply means one level above natural. Well, that's not spirit. So only two spirit beings, God and us. And we're either dead in spirit or living in spirit. But the point being that just because you don't feel like giving or feel like you are a giver, that's beside the point. That has nothing to do with you being a giver. There may be times when God will draw your attention to something or some thought or some action that you did that you didn't even realize you were doing. Because he wants, as your soul spends time with your spirit, your soul will begin to reflect the spirit character more so than the temperament God gave you. Think of a light shining through glass. That light is reflected or reveals what is on that glass. Well, that glass can be a different color, and you can see different colors after the light has reflected through it. And also the cleaner the glass is, the more light shines through it. Well, that light shining through it is the light that's coming from your spirit, from God, through your spirit, into your soul. So there is an impact that our soul makes, and God wants it to. If he wanted us to all be the same, he'd have made us robots. Remember, this is a learning process. We are here to be learning to how to live as spirit beings. Not as human beings, not as human doings, not as human beings, as spirit beings. And one of the big challenges we've had is that throughout history, especially since Jesus was here, there have been different times when individuals or groups or movements have, God has revealed himself in special ways, and they've learned certain things on how to know him, and they've acted on them, and they've been thrilled with the results. But then those things get lost to history, and you and I have to start all over again. Now, sometimes we run across books or stories, but these days, in this time, we can all learn from one another about how God is reflecting through our soul. And one of the things we want to make sure we don't do is fight over what color the light should be as it shines through an individual's soul. God made you exactly the way he wants you. God made me exactly the way he wants me. My problem is not my soul. It's the very strength that my soul, it's the substitution that my soul has been making. My soul has been substituting its own way of doing things because God wasn't there. The spirit wasn't there. My spirit wasn't there. So it was substituting whatever it could use, whether it was strengths, weaknesses, external, internal. But now we're giving that up. But you don't need to worry about whether you feel like you're a giver or not. Some people, their temperament, they're maybe an emotional, or maybe they've just, you know, gratifying, or they give for their own reasons. There's really no reason to get into it. It's very personal, and that's where you want to keep it. This is where we'll talk about when it's a good time to judge and when it's not. But for you, if you are a spirit being, if you've been born again, you are a giver. You don't have to worry about that. If that's a concern, if it's a distraction for you that God has given, he wants to talk to you about it. But if it's just a sense of not connecting or something wrong with you, that kind of thing, or interference, check with God. Check that there's not something you need to deal with. But then let yourself off the hook with the assurance that God knows exactly where you're at right now. And he may begin to show you areas where you have been giving and didn't even know about it, sharing with others what you have received. And sometimes, in fact, probably most of the time, it's not something we are aware of because it comes as part of our normal being. It's something that happens because of who we are. We, over time, it becomes less and less of a conscious effort to give. We just do what we are. So don't be distracted by what you feel about yourself. And also, God does not give you more credit for your soul being naturally inclined to give. Because again, he made you that way. Relying on your soul to please God, that's something he's going to probably want to deal with you about. Because that puts an extra layer of expectation on what God did for you, which he did it all. To think that we can do anything or add anything kind of contradicts his whole purpose for coming 2,000 years ago. So hope that addresses a couple of the concerns. There's other things we'll talk about. You know, we're hopefully going to be finishing up this last series, and before we start another series, we'll probably address some specific topics. So if you've got any questions, continue to send them in, and we will address as we can. So let's just finish up. We've been talking about the rewards of ministry. And we've talked about how recognition, and when we say rewards, you are going to have your own set of rewards. What is going to be satisfying for you. And those rewards may seem totally inapplicable in your situation. The point is that God will let you know that you are on the right track. God wants you to be happy and excited and grateful for your relationship with him. So there will be rewards for allowing that relationship to flourish, and often sacrificing, bringing your soul into submission and subjection to your spirit, giving up that self-life, doing the hard work. There are rewards for that. And even if they're not what we list here, none of this maybe is important to you, God knows what's important to you. So ask him about what's important to you. Guess why it's important to you? Because God made it important to you. So these things that we're talking about, there's six things here. If none of those really are satisfying rewards for you, that's fine. You go to him and with what you want as a reward. And guess where, again, where that desire for that reward came from? It came from him. So we've been talking about recognition, experience, comrades. Now we're going to talk about a little bit about fellowship with God. A reward of sharing and participating and being, letting that spirit flow through us is more fellowship with him. It's an encouragement, a confirmation that we are knowing him. We do know him. We are involved with him. We can count him as father, brother, everything we need. The more dependent we become, the more we are able to receive his love for us in our entire being unconditionally. Words cannot express what this is like. It's something you have to experience. And even me describing what that fellowship is like is not going to be what you're going to experience. again, he likes having a unique relationship with each one of us. God shares his secret plans with those he trusts. And in that fellowship, we begin to know his heart, his thinking, what it is that his purpose is. So we can be confident that our fellowship with him is worth the cost, because it will cost you. Giving, sharing, being in God, with God, will cost you. And it is appropriate. God wants us to compare. Are the rewards of ministry, of receiving from God and then sharing what we have received, are the rewards worth the difficulties that will come? And we can talk about it here as we're doing, but it's still a matter of you have to experience it. You have to do this for yourself. This is our goal here, is to give you the tools and everything you need to do the work yourself. Because Christianity is a solo gig. It's between you and God. Everyone else in your life is there to contribute to your solitary relationship, that you would be one in Christ. One, spirit, soul, and body in Christ. Another reward is rest. Even in the midst of strife, God's peace engulfs, preserves, and restores us. The assurance of his personal presence strengthens, upholds, and shelters us regardless of the circumstances, regardless of the work we're doing, the burden we're bearing. There is a rest. There is a, the effort is from a place of strength and confidence, where we are not striving to please God or others or ourselves, but because we have pleased God, we work, we give, we move. And then finally, there's preparation, the reward of being prepared, confidence in being prepared. So the Lord rewards our dependence, our willingness to let him be the God, by preparing us for whatever's next for us. So we know that whatever it is, whatever tomorrow holds for you, you'll be ready. We can all look forward not only to each new day, but to what's to come in the next age. Ministry is simply the outward evidence of dependence. As you spend time with him, he will manifest himself through you to others. He will provide the training, equipping, finances, and opportunities that are necessary to bring you into even greater dependence. As you decide, as you determine to focus more and more on the Lord, don't be surprised to find yourself more and more ministering to others. Whether it's a vocational or non-vocational, this is now your nature, to give to others what God has given to you. So thanks for tuning in. As I said, feel free to drop me a question or a topic, even if it's not necessarily a question, if there's a topic you'd like me to talk about. Diane@therainersclub.org or through Blog Talk Radio is fine. Thanks for tuning in. This has been Diane Thomas of Rainers Radio. See you next week. Thanks.